do that right after the service, we would appreciate it. Well, good morning, and welcome to White Court Baptist Church. Welcome to our service, you that are here and you that are online, and visitors, you are welcome also. It's good to have you with us today. I'm going to have a quiz for the people that are online this morning. There's going to be a six-letter, there's a six-letter word up there, and there's two letters missing, and I'm hoping they can figure it out. Anyone here know what those two letters are? You are, right. And we're missing the people that are online right now, and you are the ones that's missing. And but the other thing is, you are the ones that we miss. So if you're online this morning, I know there's reasons why people are online due to health issues and all that, but there's nothing more that we would love to see. And if you could be here some Sunday, we would just enjoy that time with you. So hopefully they won't be too mad at me for saying that. This morning I want to begin by saying I was looking at some things that an author wrote. I have no idea what his name is. I couldn't find it. But he started out by saying these words. Everyone is on a spiritual journey through life. Whether we are religious or not, we trail on a spiritual path. And when we do that, we have to make choices, don't we? Now, there's the small choices. I don't know how many of you figured out this morning, the small choices. What kind of socks am I going to put on? What am I going to have for breakfast, you know? Maybe some foolish man said about a couple of weeks ago, it's Valentine's Day, I don't think I'm going to get my wife anything. You know, little small things like that. And probably there's the wife who had that happen and said, my husband's birthday's tomorrow, and he didn't give me a Valentine's Day, so he's getting nothing. Some of the small things that we put up with. Well, then there's the larger choices that we have, isn't there? Teenagers here today. I'm glad it's not me, it's you. But, you know, you're going through the teenage years, you're going through school, you're looking, what am I going to do with my life is a big choice. And then when you think that, well, we'll have to go to college. Where am I going to go to college? What am I going to take? And if you don't go to college, then you say, I have to get a job, so what am I going to do? And how am I going to do that? And so those are big choices that we make. And then life goes on. Who am I going to marry? Sometimes you have to look at that and think about it. In my case, I was thinking about it, but I never had to worry about it because I found out that my brother called me one day and says, you should come up to our house on Wednesday night and we'll kick around. And I said, okay. And I went up and his three kids were there, but they weren't. But there's this lovely young lady. And her name was Vondell Mallory. And 3 years later, we were married. So I didn't have to worry about who I was going to marry, I guess. I think my brother and sister-in-law figured it out. But it's something that we have to make a choice on, right? And then, of course, as we go along, we make the choice, are we going to have kids? And then, you know, how are we going to raise our kids? And where are you going to, what if you have, the, how many of here have moved to White Court? Isn't that a big one, a big choice you make? Are we going to go to a new job? And what are we going to do there? And life goes on like that. And then you get old, like I am, and you say, what am I going to do in retirement or whatever? And you have to find things like that. So there's a lot of choices that we have to make. Then the author went on to say, many people think that the paths we travel are many. And that's true. Just like I said about all these choices, we have so many areas that we go down and we're involved with. There's a lot of things. So in a sense, that's true. But in reality, when it comes to the one most important choice in life that we have to make, then there's only two choices. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something different today. Two is going to be a word here today. And so every time I put up my finger, I want you to say two. Think you can do that? Hey, all right, we'll see how this goes. And these two choices, we have to pick one. And we will not have a choice to not make a choice. So if you've been following along in our services, you know that we have been following the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And we're going to follow that trend this morning, and the title of this morning's message is The Inescapable Choice. The number will be very important this morning. We're going to be looking at verses of Scripture found in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And we're going to see the choices which we will have in our life's journey. So here we go. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So a couple things here. Each one of these verses tells us that there's something there that has its own beginning and has its own end. One apparently is heavenly populated. The other is traveled by a few. So let's look a little closer on that. So first of all, there are gates. There's the wide gate. This is the gate that represents the beginning that leads to destruction. This gate is wide open. I know what I try to think when I think of this, of a highway, and you see the four-lane highways, and you come to gates and stuff. Just don't get kicked off on that we're not talking about spirituality highways also here this morning. So this gate, this wide gate, is wide open. There's no guards. There's no barriers at all. Nothing to stop you as you go through this gate. A few years ago, before I came here, back home, a lot of us used to play golf together. And we heard of this golf course up outside of Woodstock, New Brunswick. And so we thought we'd go up. And so we drove up. We made the left turn off the highway, went in. And it was one of those places, as we got there, and we knew about this, I'm not sure which is which, but I think the golf course was on the Canadian side. And the place where you had to go to get in and eat and all that was on the American side. And we drove up, we played golf, we came down to the road again, and we said, okay, that's the way. Wonder what happens if we go left. Well, there was no gate, no nothing to stop us. And we drove like 2 miles, and we were in the U.S., and we went to a little town, we ate, we got gas, and then we come back. But it was amazing, I bet you they don't have that now, that there was a place where there was no boundaries, and anybody could go through. It was amazing. One of the things about this wide gate is we go flying through it if we want to. We're not required to give up anything. And again, I'm talking about the spiritual thing here. Matter of fact, when we're on this wide gate and everything, we can bring all the luggage we want to. There's nothing that says we can't. There's plenty of room for diversity of opinions and laxity of morals. Going through the wide gate is where we find a lot of the stuff we hear nowadays, tolerance and permissiveness. There is evidently, like I say, no limit to the luggage one can take with us. And when we're talking spiritually, we don't have to leave anything behind. Not our sin, not our self-righteousness, not our pride. And this gate is pretty easy to go through, of course. And, of course, we being who we are, we like that when we're got the choices to go, and there's nothing to stop us, don't we? And this way is usually chosen by, as it said, a great many people. But then there's the narrow gate. And the narrow gate represents the beginning of the starting point to the way that leads to life. And when you come up to this gate, it's narrow. Oh, and by the way, the road is closed. It's blocked. It's got a barrier in front of it. And that barrier is Jesus Christ. John 10:9 says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. To get through this gate, one must ask Jesus to forgive his sins. That's called repentance. And then we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior into our lives. This narrow gate's not like the wide gate, where it's easy to see, easy to find, easy to get through. The narrow gate is small and only go through one at a time. One that someone has to look for. It must be deliberately sought. and chosen if we are to find and enter it. It's an easy gate to miss, as we know, with a lot of us. We don't want to look at that gate. We want to be on that wide gate and just flying through life the way we want it. But the narrow gate requires eyes of faith to recognize it. And to enter through this gate, we can't take our old luggage with us, I'm afraid. We have to leave behind our sin, our selfish ambition, and our consuming desire for earthly goods. Matthew 16:24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. These gates are the starting point. But then there are roads. Sorry, I knew I was going to mess that up. There's the broad road that leads to destruction. Why is that? Well, because, as I've said, there's no control on behavior or desires. There's no need for us to change our lifestyles. We don't have to in that way. We can do whatever we want. And people love this because they think they have complete freedom and they're in charge. But the narrow way leads to life. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Anyone come up to you and say, as a Christian, I don't know how you can be a Christian. There's so many things that you can't do. Have you ever heard that? I mean, you can't have fun, right? Sure, okay. You can't let your hair down. Well, those of us that have got enough hair to let down. You can't play games. Oh, you can't dance. Well, I know we're in a Baptist church. Watch that one. But you can't dance. You just can't have a real good life. You got to do so many things that you can't do. I was, when I worked at the mill one time, it was, we're talking about New Year's. And they were saying, boy, you must have a dull time on New Year's. You're not allowed to do anything. You must sit home and read your Bible or whatever. I says, oh, really? What do you do? And they told me they went out and partied or whatever. And they said, well, really, what did you do? Well, I said, here's what we did. We got a bunch of Christians together. We go to someone's house. We do play cards. We have fun. We have lots to eat. We're up till 2 or 3 in the morning. Really? And he was shocked that he heard that. Christians do that. And then there's the other side. These people talk about being a Christian. And they will say, well, okay, you don't do anything. But there's too many things that you have to do. Let's see. You got to pray. Oh, you got to read the Bible. Oh, you got to go to church. Oh, maybe you have to give money to the church. Oh, you've got to be there during the week. And, you know, the answer that I would have, and I hope you have it too, is that we don't have to do these things. We choose to do them. So the narrow way and the narrow road leads us to a relationship with God. Leads us to a relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ. And the one that we sometimes forget, the Holy Spirit that lives in us every day. The narrow way makes us a family. We here today in this church are a family, God's family. But we can't leave it there. We have other Christians that are in this town, other churches. We're a family. Around the world, we're a family. We've got people going to Romania. Christian people are going to be there. And they're a family with God like we are. We have Pastor Ian's in India right now. And he's teaching on pastors and things like that. And he just tells us how fantastic it is, how many people are accepting Christ. But they become a family. He said that Iran, I believe, has the greatest amount of new Christians, I think he said, in the world. Can you believe that? And now they're our family. We're a family together as we go on that road together. And the narrow way gives us, of course, an opportunity to serve this great God that we have. And I know from you people have all got wonderful gifts. Some are gifts that are up front. Some are gifts that are quietly, but still, and God wants us to use them. And the narrow way leads us to eternal life in heaven. I don't know about you, but I think being a Christian is pretty good. It's pretty awesome, don't you? And then Jesus tells us that there are destinations. They are the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of the world, which Satan is overseeing. The wide gate and broad road lead to destruction is what Jesus tells us. One item to notice about this, and I always forget this sort of thing, is we, all of us, have been on that wide gate and that wide road at one time or another because we were born sinners. And that's because what sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. And if we continue going down the wide road for the entirety of our life, we're going to end up in destruction. And that's by ending up in a place called hell, which is under the domain of Satan. And if you think I'm going to go through a whole list of things about hell, I'm not going to today. It's just that it's a terrible place and we don't want to be there. But let me just suggest one thing about those going down the wide road that end up in hell. There's one thing that's going to happen that must be the worst thing that could happen. And that's that those who will be there will be separated completely from God and forever. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Can you imagine being separated from God forever? But then there's the narrow gate and the narrow road, and that leads to eternal life. And believing in Jesus is the only way to get to the kingdom of God, because he alone died for our sins and made you and me acceptable to God. You see, God alone has determined who will enter into his kingdom. I did not want to talk too much about hell, but I'd like to share a little bit about the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. Apparently in heaven, we are going to have a place for each one of us. Last summer, we took a trip to the Maritimes, and we had a week or more to get there, but when we did, we booked ahead to the hotels because it was so crowded. And I love John 14, 1 to 3, and it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. I'm a little bummed about this. I'd rather leave the old word that says, my Father has many mansions. I don't know if we've been bumped down from a mansion to a room, or there's rooms in the mansion, and there's going to be room for all of us, but it's going to be good. My Father's house has many mansions. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. What else about heaven? Well, if you want to read, there's a fellow at coffee. He's always telling me I should speak on Revelation. And I said no. But if you want to read some of the things about in heaven, read Revelation chapters 21 and 22. And they're going to say things like, being in heaven, there's no tears. There's no pain. There's no sorrow. No sin. Going to be no night. And someone said, how's that going to work? Well, God's light's going to be enough. There's no curse. That curse of the sin is gone. There's going to be a glorious city of Jerusalem that's going to be there. And there's going to be glories beyond description, beyond the ability of you and I, normal humans, I think, to comprehend and understand. And sometimes we get people telling us, and I think as Christians we wonder too, but the most important fact is that heaven is a real place. It means that heaven, Jesus' Father's house, is as real as any place on this earth. It's just as real as the place you have when you go home. And it's a place filled with real people. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. His throne is there. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. Philippians 3:20 tells us as Christians that our citizenship is not here. It's in heaven. There's a lot of people that are going to be in heaven, and there's a special people for us. I'm sure you've had, if you're a Christian, you've had people in your life who were very influential in how you learned about God. And there's a lot of them in heaven now. There could be parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters, friends. But you imagine, they're in heaven now, and they're praising God. And they're there because they went to the narrow gate looking for it. And they had their lives lived by going down the narrow road, following Jesus' teachings. So this morning Jesus tells us we have two choices, but only one. But only one leads us to eternal life in the kingdom of God. So the question, have you made that inescapable choice? I hope you have. But if you haven't, it's still time to do that. I've seen this and I thought, woo, what a thing to say. But because in the end, there are only two kinds of people. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And those to whom God says in the end to them, "Thy will be done." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this part of your word. We thank you that you have opened up the door of sin for mankind. That yes, we can go down the wide road. We can lead the life that we want to. But that's going to lead us to destruction. But you have given everyone the opportunity to come to that small gate and that narrow road. This morning here, I don't know where everyone is, Father. I think I'm probably speaking to the choir. But if there's any here, I pray that they would seriously take what has been given in the scripture this morning. We thank you for you sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to change the whole atmosphere on this earth. You created us, you loved us, and you want us to be with you when our time is ended. So, Father, thank you so much for what you've done, and Lord God, we praise you this morning for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.